We continue our learning. Another Mishnah that we find in Maseches Beitzah. Shlosha Devarim Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Matir, v'Chachamim Osrim. Three things Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah permitted and the Chachamim prohibited. Number one is Paraso Yotza Birutzur Shaben Karneha. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Mishnah says, allowed his cow, and the Gemara says it wasn't really his cow, it was called his cow, it was his neighbor's cow, but because he allowed this neighbor to go out with his cow, with the Ritzua Ben Karneha with the strap between the horns and did not consider this a problem of carrying because we could assume this was a tachshit, an ornament, which is allowed for an animal to go out with, and not a masa, and not a burden, so it was called his cow, but it wasn't really his cow. So number one is Paraso Yotza Ritzua Shaben Karneha. He allowed the cow to go out on Shabbos in Rishus HaRabim. Normally an animal can't do malacha, can't be carried. But here, this is for decorative purposes, and therefore he thought this was allowed. The Chachamim said, no, it's not allowed, because it looks like it's an ornament. So the answer is, because how many cows are going out with ornaments? How many cows have tachshitim upon them? So therefore they say this is considered a masa, and therefore it's not allowed. A cow cannot go out on Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah with this ritzu, with this strap between its horns. Number two, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah permitted umekardin es habehema b'yom tov. Number two, he allowed, he permitted combing an animal on Yom Tov, and specifically mekardin is where you're using a comb that's made of barzel, made of iron, and has very, very thin teeth to it, and once in a while it can make a chabur, it can cause the animal to bleed if you're combing it, but because it's a davar shein miskaven, and it's also not, by the way, not a psikresha, it's not inevitable that it's going to cause a problem, so therefore he said this was permitted. And number three is v'shochakin es apilpulin berechayim shalehen. He said you're allowed to grind peppercorn with their own rechayim, with their designated mill that's used for that purpose, even though these were rather large, and there's a very big tircha involved. The Chachamim disagreed in such a case. Now, the Chachamim would not allow this grinding, because the Chachamim say this, you can use to use something that that usually used during the week. It's an uvdin d'chol, looks like a weekly activity. That's not allowed. You want to grind, you can. You can use a mortar and pestle that's made out of stone, made out of wood. That's discussed in Maseches Beitzah. That would be permitted, but to use the peppercorns, rechayim, the mill itself, that's not permitted. Why would the Chachamim disagree with the mekardin es habehema when it comes to combing the animal with these iron combs? So we said that it's not going to, we said it's only a possibility that it's going to cause cause bleeding. It's a davar shein miskaven. So the answer is, and he certainly has no intent to cause bleeding. So the answer is because Rabbi Yehuda holds that a davar shein miskaven is going to be usur, even if you end up doing something that is without intent, it's going to be prohibited. Additionally, to explain Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, even if you hold, let's say it's inevitable, it's going to cause, you do enough combing, it's going to cause it to bleed. So that makes it a psik ratio. So even if it's a davar shein miskaven, even if it's something that you don't intend to cause the animal to bleed, nonetheless, it's inevitable, it's going to happen. That should be prohibited. So the answer is, it's a psikresha de lo nichole. You certainly don't want the animal to bleed. And that certainly lowers it to a level of derabanan, and according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, according to maybe Hild, that actually would be mutter. Then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein mekardin es habehema b'yom tov b'nei shehu oso l'chabura. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, as we said, davar shein miskaven is going to be usur. So we have to see, sounds like he's saying the same thing as the Chachamim, because who allowed you to comb the animal with the metal comb, with an iron comb? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Chachamim obviously disagreed with that. And here comes Rabbi Yehuda to say, ein mekardin es habehema b'yom tov, because you make a chabura. So, and he holds davar, even though you have no intention to cause it to bleed, davar shein miskaven, yes, Rabbi Shimon holds that's mutter. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that's a mutter, but Rabbi Yehuda holds that's aser. And the Chachamim here obviously side with Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll have to see where the Chachamim and the Rabbi Yehuda disagree. Aval mikar tzifin, but Rabbi Yehuda comes and says you can comb the animal with a comb made out of wood, where the teeth are spread wider apart. Then there's no concern that you're going to make a chabura. V'chachamim omrim ein mikar din aflo mikar tzifin. They say no, that is the difference. You're not going to do either. When they disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Yehuda, they're the most strict. They say you can't even use the wooden comb. We make a gezerah not to use the wooden comb because we may end up using the metal comb. The halacha follows Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah with respect to the using the comb, because we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, the devil shen miskaven is going to be mutter. But with respect to the strap on the parah, and where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said that's allowed, we rule against that. We say it's prohibited. And shchikas pilpul, and the same thing regarding the grinding of the peppercorn, we would say use a mortar and pestle, but do not use the typical mill that was designated for that purpose. We begin the fourth parak, Dalid Mishnah Aleph, Elu Devarim, Mikule Veshamai, Umechumre Beisilin. In fact, for this parak is going to have a list of 23 areas of halacha where Beishamai is lenient over Beisilo. We typically, Beisilo is more lenient, but here with this parak is full of cases. And this we have, beginning with, this is a Mishnah in Maseches Beitzah. So once again, we're not going to go through all of the details, but just a little bit of a background to a Beitzah Shenol de Yom Tov, an egg that's born that's laid on Yom Tov. We need to be aware of a pasuk in Parshas B'Shalach, where the Torah says, V'haya b'yom ha-shishi v'heichinu es asher yavi, which means that we're supposed to prepare for Shabbos on Friday. And that's not only true for Shabbos, that we need to prepare on a weekday. Friday just means a weekday, but Yom Tov also needs preparation. So Shabbos meals need preparation. Yom Tov needs preparation. Need preparation when? On a weekday. And if the weekday has not prepared for Shabbos, so then potentially that item could be muksa. We say chol is mechin the Shabbos, and chol is mechin the Yom Tov, but Yom Tov can't prepare you for Shabbos. If Yom Tov fell out on Friday, so then, that Friday, that you have to have that, whatever it is that you want for Shabbos, you have to prepare that prior to that. And Shabbos can't be making the Yom Tov. So if Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, you're going to have a problem as well. We need to do Hachana in advance. Something that's not Minamuchon, we call Muksa. So we could speak about food as an example. So, and the Gemara, in fact, does speak about that. The Gemara, the beginning of Beitzah, speaks about a tarnagolas, let's say, that's omedes legadel beitzim, that is typically used not to eat, but rather to lay eggs. Since it's not used for food, you can't assume that, I guess I'm allowed to shech this chicken. No, this chicken was not set aside for food. It seems like you're using it like a machine, like to give you eggs. So if you want to use that to shech, to eat from it, you have to be mechin. You have to prepare it. You have to have in mind and designate it before, and that before Yom Tov, that this is going to be food. Without that, it's going to be muktzah. If you have a tarnagolos omedes la'achila, so then that animal is obviously not muktzah. What if it lays an egg? So that egg should be permitted because the animal is permitted. So that which comes from the animal should be permitted. So what should be the issue? So the Gemara explains that our Mishnah, when the Beitzah is nolda b'yom tov, if it is being born from a tarnagolas ha'omedes la'achila, but there's a problem with the egg anyway when it's born on Yom Tov. What's the problem? The problem is that we're speaking of, we have to be concerned with where yesterday was Shabbos, where Shabbos preceded. The Beitzah is nolda b'yom tov, but Yom Tov fell out on Sunday. So the day before was Shabbos. So what's the problem? The problem is that a Beitzah, if it's born today, we assume it was completed in the body of the chicken, the hen, yesterday. And Shabbos, as we said, cannot act as a day of Hachana for the purposes, for a day of Yom Tov. It needs to be a weekday. I say, what's being prepared? The answer is something Hachana b'day Shamayim. The fact that Hashem has prepared it, that it's now finished, is also considered preparation. And therefore, we have to be concerned that with every Yom Tov, we have to be concerned that maybe it's going to be that maybe on a Yom Tov that falls out on a Sunday, you're going to be using a Beitzah as well, not realizing that if a Yom Tov falls out on a Tuesday, so then Monday prepare the egg. If the egg was born on Tuesday, so then we know it was completed by Shamayim on Monday. Monday is a weekday. Monday's allowed to prepare for Tuesday, but for Yom Tov. But What? But if Yontif is Sunday and now Shabbos is the day that it's that the egg has been prepared and finished, completed, and then it was born the next day on Yontif, so that's a problem because Shabbos can't be making for Yontif. So that's the discussion on Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Beitza shenolda b'yomtov beis shamay omem teyachel. Beis shamay says you're allowed to eat the beitza on Yontif. It's not muksa. If it's since the tarnagolis was not omedes legal del beitzim to give you eggs, which would make the tarnagolis muksa and the egg muks, but rather the tarnagolis was you were planning on eating, and Yontif Yolad Shecht, so then the eggs are as well are Mukhan, and you don't have to worry about the fact that it was the egg was finished yesterday. No, you're not allowed to have the Beitza on Yomtiv. Why? Since you wouldn't be able to eat that Beitza if Yomtiv followed the Shabbos, because Shabbos can't be Mechin for Yomtov. So therefore, we make a Gzera every Yomtiv because of Yomtiv that follows the Shabbos. And therefore, the Beitza is usher to eat on every Yomtiv. Beis Shammai apparently would say that the Beitza should be a problem potentially on Yomtiv that follows the Shabbos. But if Yom Tov doesn't fall out on a Sunday, Beis Shammai doesn't make that gezerah. Another halacha, Beis Shammai omim se'or b'kazayis v'chametz b'kakosevis. Another area where Beis Shammai is lenient. This is with respect to the issur of chametz. And specifically, Gemara says, we're not speaking about eating chametz. Any little bit of chametz that you eat is a problem. But maintaining chametz, having chametz in our possession, the issur of balya balya matze, owning chametz and the mitzvah of biur chametz, getting rid of chametz, how much chametz do we have to get rid of? A minimum of, so that's what the discussion here is. According to Beis Shammai, se'or, if se'or is sourdough, sourdough causes chametz itself, but it also causes other things to become chametz. So Beis Shammai says, we have to be more strict when it comes to se'or, and therefore se'or b'kezayis. Even a kezayis, an olive size of se'or, you have to get rid of, you have to burn. And chametz b'kakoseves, and chametz a larger amount. Koseves is the size of a dry date. That's the isser of eating on Yom Kippur, is not a kezayis, because I still asked him in HaTorah, but nonetheless, you don't get curries unless you eat food the size of a koseves, because when it comes to Yom Kippur, it says, V'ini senes nafsho sechem, you have to cause yourself to suffer. And you are still suffering even if you eat a kezayis of food. Once you eat a dry date size of food, so now already you're not suffering anymore. So we use that shear here as well. According to Beis Shammai, chametz, since it doesn't cause other things to become chametz, we can be more lenient when it comes to the mitzvah of beer or getting rid of, or the isser of balya balya matzah, of owning chametz. And if you own a kezayis, if it's not sourdough, it's just regular chametz, just a cracker, so you can have a cracker around, even if it's the size of a kezayis. Only when it's the size of a date or bigger or larger do you have to get rid of it. That's Beis Shammai's opinion. The pasuk, the Torah mentions both seor and chametz. It says, Shavas yamim, seor lo yimotze bevateichem, ki kol ochel mach metzes v'nechvesah v'shem yadash Yisrael. So the pasuk begins by speaking about seor and then concludes with chametz. So what is that? So the Chazal assume that seor and chametz are equal. They're both usher you're not allowed to eat them on Pesach. Nonetheless, Beis Shammai says, since it says v'lo yira'eh l'cha chametz v'lo yira'eh l'cha se'or b'chol gvulecha, Beis Shammai claims that this, and this is speaking about biur, so he says the pasuk obviously is there to teach you that chametz and se'or have a different shiur. And it's true when it comes to achila, they're the same. When it comes to biur, they're not. And that's Beis Shammai's opinion. Of course, se'or makes more sense, more strict when it comes to se'or, because that causes other things to become chametz. And that's why se'or is b'kezayis, you have to get rid of chametz, not until it's the size of a koseves. Ubeis Hillel omrim, here's Beis Hillel strict, zevazeh b'kezayis. Beis Hillel says, no. Not only is it true for achila purposes, do we say se'or and chametz are the same, even when it comes to the mitzvah of beer, getting rid of the chametz, not only in the chametz, the shear is the same, and even chametz you have to get rid of, even if it's the size of a kezayis.